Page 1184 of your Bibles. Great. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I'm filling up with what is lacking in Christ's afflictions, for the sake of his body, that is, the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known. The mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of the mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ.
Thank you, Leslie, for reading that passage. Shall we pray as we begin? Heavenly Father, we do pray for this time now that you will speak to us. Help us to be encouraged by what we hear, to be challenged by what we hear, and to be changed as we leave. Amen. Well, I don't know if anyone's actually read a book called The Bible Code by Michael Drosnin. Has anyone read that? Yes, there's one. I haven't actually read it, I must admit. I've watched a couple of documentaries on it. But I was looking at Amazon.com and I was intrigued by this editorial review. And I quote, "As God dictated the first five books of the Old Testament, he enclosed prophecies in a skip code. That is, every fifth letter in a sentence forms a word. The trouble is the code is so divinely complex that you need a computer to find it. Now that we have those, and author Michael Drosnin, you too can read God's secret messages in the Bible code." Drosnin was a reporter for the Wall Street Journal, who predicted Rabin's assassination a year before it happened. Since then, with the help of mathematicians, he's been finding the bleak future all over the Bible. An earthquake in LA, 2010. A meteor hitting the Earth, 2006, 2010, 2012, or all of these. And then, of course, nuclear Armageddon, 2000 or 2006. Presumably, he must mean 2006. We can detect a hint of sarcasm there, can't you? And I think quite rightly so. I mean, is finding secret codes in the Bible what it's all about? Is that really why the Bible was written? Is it really the way that we can discover God? Is the straightforward message of Jesus in the Bible somehow not enough? Is there some sort of hidden layer there that we're yet to discover that will add to the wisdom of the Bible? Well, we're continuing to look today at this series in Colossians. So it'll be useful if you kept the Bibles open, and there's an outline of the talk here. I'm hoping that those sorts of questions are going to be answered as we go through the passage. So where is the knowledge and wisdom about God and the universe to be found? And what is involved in getting to know that knowledge and that wisdom? Do we need some special key to unlock it? Well, I suppose in today's culture, there's many answers to those sorts of questions. I was thinking back to my days at university, and I met a girl there who was really into Buddhism. So for her, she said that the wisdom of the universe was to be found through enlightenment. And to gain enlightenment, it meant lots of meditation and eating no meat and no dairy products. I personally can't say that I was convinced that she was going to find enlightenment. I could say, though, that she was getting rather thin by the time I knew her. Another person I worked with, he was a student placement a few years ago, and he was really into paganism. And he and his fiancée were due to get married on a hillside somewhere outside Banbury, I think it was, where several ley lines crossed, apparently. To them, so wisdom was to be found by looking into ancient paganism. But as Christians, of course, we believe that wisdom, the knowledge of God, is to be found ultimately in the person of Jesus Christ. And what, of course, he has done for us. And how do we get to know this? Well, quite simply, we read our Bibles. That's where we encounter Jesus Christ and his work. In the Bible, the Word of God. But we don't waste our time by looking for secret codes. We don't look for some kind of secret message to unlock. No, we just stick with the basic message of the Bible. So in short, if we want people to know about God, to know God himself, in fact, then we need to proclaim Jesus Christ as revealed in the Bible. A revelation that doesn't require computers or Michael Drosnin. Or mathematicians. Well, that's what we're going to look at. Proclaiming Jesus Christ, what that involves and why that is so important. So first then, proclaiming Jesus Christ involves hard work and suffering. And you can see that if you look in chapter 1, verse 24, verse 29, and also in chapter 2, verse 1. The Apostle Paul, he was a guy who knew what it was to suffer for proclaiming Christ. He was frequently beaten up, sometimes left for dead simply because he spoke out about Jesus. And even as he wrote this letter to the Colossian Christians, he was locked up in prison. If you look ahead to chapter 4, verse 18, you'll see that he is in chains. So here in chapter 1, verse 24, we see Paul suffering for the sake of spreading the good news about Jesus Christ. But he is determined to continue spreading the good news about Jesus Christ. Because it's for the sake of the Colossian Christians. And Paul is able to continue as well, because verse 29 tells us that he is looking to Jesus to give him the energy to do it. The main point then is that anybody who wants to spread the Christian message, proclaiming that Jesus Christ is Lord and proclaiming his death and resurrection, well, should expect to face hard work and suffering. But the good news is that the suffering can be endured and even rejoiced in because Jesus Christ supplies us with the energy to do it. And we also know that the work unites us with Jesus in his work of changing lives, bringing people into his kingdom. And yeah, I think it's a really important point to get right in our minds. Proclaiming Jesus Christ is hard work. It's not an easy task. It takes time. It takes money. I was just talking to Leslie a minute ago. And about the way the work here on the wharf has changed. Now, 10 years ago, there was a group here, and we used to meet in the upstairs of Drummond's Wine Bar. Now, you go into Drummond's, you had to go through a door, paint was peeling off of it, marked private, up these grotty stairs and into the room upstairs. It was not a pleasant place, really, to meet. It's not the sort of place you could easily invite friends along to. But what happened? Well, people got involved in the hard work of giving money, of praying, and finally, here we are on this fantastic barge. So not only is gospel work hard work, but I think proclaiming Jesus Christ in the UK over the next few years is going to get more and more dangerous. And I think that's because people are finding the authentic Jesus uncomfortable these days. We live in a materialistic society, don't we? We live in a multicultural society. And sometimes I hear people imply that gospel work is easy. Sometimes I hear them say things like, well, if you suffer, well, then you must be doing something wrong. God can't possibly be with you if you're going to suffer. Well, what would Paul say? I mean, Paul suffered for the sake of the Christian message, didn't he? I'm sure he would say that God was with him. The Apostle Peter, all the apostles, they went through awful times of suffering, and yet God was with them. So our first heading today is that proclaiming Jesus Christ involves hard work and suffering. Are we prepared to join in with this hard work? Are we prepared to suffer for the sake of making Jesus Christ known? Well, to help answer that question, we're going to move on to our second heading. Proclaiming Jesus Christ is what God wants to happen. God wants the word of God, the word about Jesus Christ, to be proclaimed. So verse 25, Paul tells us that he was commissioned by God to make the word of God fully known. Verse 28, we see that it is Jesus Christ who is proclaimed. Him we proclaim, Paul says. It's Jesus Christ who is taught about. This is God's intention, his purpose, that Jesus Christ is proclaimed. It's what he wants to happen. It's why Paul and the other apostles were commissioned. It's why I'm speaking to you today. It should be the reason that any preacher gives a sermon. And when a preacher gives a sermon, when they prepare it, it should be focused on the biblical text. Because it's the Bible, the word of God, that needs to be preached. The word of God is the message of Christ. Look at verse 25. The word of truth is to be made fully known. Verse 28 again. Him, that's Jesus, we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Now, I recently read a book called The Heavenly Man, and it's all about a Chinese Christian called Brother Yun. Brother Yun became one of the leaders in the Chinese underground church, and he suffered terribly as he's gone about the work of proclaiming Jesus Christ. And now there's a whole host, I think it's 100,000 of them, these Chinese Christians who are prepared to take the gospel back to Jerusalem. They've said that it seems that the gospel over the centuries has spread out in a westward direction. It's now reached China, and they're aware of this expanse of the Middle East where the gospel has not penetrated. They're prepared to take the gospel into that region, heading gradually back to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is only the goal in that it covers the entire globe. But they're prepared to go into those nations and to suffer as they take the gospel there. Why? Because God wants Jesus Christ to be proclaimed. Now, in the UK, we might think about that and we might get rather timid. We're a bit uncertain about proclaiming Christ in our multicultural society. We're aware of the tensions it can create. We don't want to appear to be intolerant. But God wants Jesus Christ to be proclaimed. Now, you may be there saying, okay, well, maybe God does want Jesus Christ to be proclaimed. But why? Why is it so important? Well, point three. Proclaiming Jesus Christ is the final installment of God's message to humankind. Probably not the best English there, but you get the idea. Proclaiming Jesus Christ is the final installment of God's message to humankind. Let me explain what that means with an illustration. Saturday the 16th of July was a special day for many people. Anybody know why? Well, it was the day that the latest Harry Potter book was released. Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. That's a book that was eagerly awaited. 10 million copies were expected to be sold worldwide within 24 hours, including 2 million in the UK. And Lucy Blackwell, a 17-year-old student in Australia, said this. I won't pretend that I can do an Australian accent. I've been waiting for this for 2 years. I have big, big expectations. But, you know, the interesting thing about The Half-Blood Prince is it's not the last installment. It's book 6 out of a total of 7. There's something more to come. But when book 7 comes along, according to J.K. Rowling, the author, the set will be complete. There's no more. Now, Jesus in the Bible, you see, is a bit like that book 7 of the Harry Potter series. He is the final installment of God's revelation. There's no more waiting for new installments of the Bible to be revealed. The word of God is complete. So take a look at verse 26, for example. The mystery... That's the message, the Christian message. The mystery was hidden for ages and generations, but now has been revealed to the saints. Saints being Christians. And verse 27. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The message is not just for one exclusive club, but for all peoples. The message is not just for the Jews, but it's also made known amongst the Gentiles. That's non-Jewish people. In short, the Christian message is for everybody on the planet. Now, in his book, So Long and Thanks for All the Fish, that's one of the Hitchhiker Guide to the Galaxy series, Douglas Adams, the author, makes a joke that the last message of God to his creation is, we apologize for the inconvenience. In the Bible, God says the last message to his creation is Jesus Christ. Take another look at verse 27. Can you see the focus of the final installment of God's message to humankind? It is Jesus Christ himself. The mystery is all about Christ and Christ in you. Again, look at verses 2 and 3 in chapter 2. Proclaiming Christ that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So why is it so important to proclaim Jesus Christ? In short, because Jesus is the final installment of God's message to humankind. If you want to have a full and complete knowledge of the mystery of God and the way he works in the world, well then look to Jesus Christ and how he is revealed in the Bible, the Word of God. And then you don't have to look any further. We really need to think seriously, I think, about how we can actively proclaim or at least support the proclamation of Jesus Christ. He is God's final and complete message to creation. And not just a part of his creation, but to all of his creation. That includes all peoples. It's an important message because it's a complete message, a full message from God. Also, the message of Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection is a message upon which we can rely fully. And that brings us nicely onto the final heading this lunchtime. Proclaiming Jesus Christ equips and makes complete the Christian. So, chapter 1, verse 28, we see that the result of proclaiming and teaching Jesus Christ is to make everyone mature in Christ. Similarly again, chapter 2, verses 2 to 3, Christ is proclaimed to encourage Christians so that they're knit together in love to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The logic is obvious, isn't it? Jesus completes and finalizes the revelation from God. All the wisdom and knowledge of God is to be found in him and recorded in the Word of God for us. So Jesus Christ, if you like, is the ultimate treasure trove, isn't he? If we want to know him, then we need to seek him as revealed in the Word of God. All that the Christian needs to know in order to be made mature and complete, holy, is to be found in Christ himself. So that's why we treat the proclamation of Jesus Christ from the Word of God so seriously here at Wednesday at the Wharf. There can be nothing more important, can there, than proclaiming Jesus Christ, the ultimate treasure trove, the only one who can ultimately fulfill our needs and make us complete. And we need to hold on to that because danger always looms when, well, easy if I read verse 4. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. You see, there's always someone out there looking to delude us with plausible arguments. Now, I opened with Michael Drosnin's Bible code. You might not think that's completely plausible. Some people think it is. Having said that, though, there is an ever-present danger for us when people try to, you know, they try to encourage us to move on from Jesus and his death and resurrection. So, you know, the sort of thing. It might be, well, it's great, you know, that you have Jesus. I'm so pleased for us. But if only you had, you know, a second baptism or if only you had the gift of tongues or the gift of prophecy or you read this book by Pastor so-and-so, well, then you really would be complete. Or read the Gnostic Gospels. Great wisdom in there. That would really make you complete and, you know, expand your knowledge of God. If you want to get an additional knowledge, you should do these sorts of things. Now, those, you see, can sound like plausible-sounding arguments. But what would Paul say? He would say, don't move on, wouldn't he? Yes, maybe some of the extra stuff is useful in its own way, but keep Christ and his death and resurrection right at the centre. Having started with Jesus, well, let him sustain you. You have everything you need to be right with God in Jesus. You have everything you need to be made mature and complete in Jesus. So yes, delve deeper into the riches of the treasure chest that is Christ. Enjoy the gems and jewels that are there. But don't move on from the treasure chest that is Christ onto another one. You might have a look in and think, wow, those look like glittering jewels in there. But you'll find that, well, all that glitters isn't gold. They will not make you mature and complete. Only continuing in Jesus will do that. In conclusion then, rely on Jesus as revealed in the Word of God. Proclaim him. It may be hard work. It may bring suffering. But Jesus Christ, as revealed in the Word of God, is the real thing, the ultimate treasure trove that equips and makes complete the Christian. Now that's why God the Father is so passionate about the proclamation of Jesus Christ. So shouldn't we be passionate about the proclamation of Jesus Christ as well? Stick with Jesus and the proclamation of him. Don't move on, just go deeper. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that we have a full, complete and sufficient revelation in Jesus as revealed in the Bible. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you that we don't need to move on, but help us to delve deeper into the riches of Christ. Amen. There is lunch, as usual, in front of us. And if there's any questions or anything, I will be around. But enjoy your lunch, and you might want to talk through some of the things that you've heard.